Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, it's May Day in the UK. All your screens at the minute are showing the coverage from College Green, not College Green Dublin, College Green outside the House of Commons. And basically in the background, there's two sets of supporters, one group carrying the Union Jack and the other group carrying the starred blue flag of the European Union. John Scanlon, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Who do you think will, who do you think Theresa May will survive?
You know what? I wasn't giving her any hope, but yeah, I think she will just beat it today. The bookies have her down to win, so they know something.
And what do you want to happen?
Oh, I'd like to see her gone.
Why?
Be honest with you. Well, like, she's been in there for a while now, trying to learn how to drive this Brexit bus. And like I was saying, she hasn't even taken the handbrake off.
So you
she needs to let what I call the European Parliament is, I call it EU2, because they want everything twice. They never get the answer. We tell them no, they go back and think again. The worst thing that could happen to this EU or the UK at the moment would be another vote. And anything but another vote might save democracy. Even a bad deal is better than nothing.
Okay, you're in Derbyshire. Did Derbyshire vote to stay or leave? Remain or leave?
In my area here, we all voted the same as the Nationals. It was 52-48 here.
Wow.
And I was the only EJ out with me table in this village. It's a small village, you know. Everybody sort of knows each other around here. And because of that result, 2 years of stalemate. I've lost neighbours and friends.
Yeah, but hang on, you said you were the village agent. And what side?
Oh, I voted to leave.
Oh, you voted to leave. And you set up a stall, did you? And
I did so, yeah. I had my table out there and I was like an agent. But still, you know, people, hundreds of people come up to me and wanted to know. And I'm not, you know, a brain. I'm just a normal layman who just does things. As you see, he's right, you know. And I told them, and I educated a lot of people about this. I said, you watch this, this is going to be deja vu, because I've lived this before in Ireland, I said. We're going to win this, and they're going to take it away.
And when you were campaigning to leave the EU, what type of reaction will you get? What's the name of your village?
The village I live in is called Whaley Bridge. It's between
Whaley Bridge,
Buxton and Manchester City.
Okay, what type of reaction will you get in Whaley Bridge when you've set up your stall urging people to vote leave?
It's the usual. Anybody who sticks their heads up gets it knocked down. You know, you're getting the sneers, you were getting the people who were afraid to say what their true colours were. And I was surprised at the result in this town, that we actually did it, because a lot of people, it's a very loyal Conservative area. But this time we have Ruth George is our MP here, and she's in now, so Labour just swung it in the last election.
Okay, so you want Theresa May to be gone by this evening. Who do you want to replace her?
Well, I think, Jordis Bardis or Morg or even that rude fella, he could be a good fella. We need somebody young in there, somebody who knows how to drive a European bus.
Yeah, but you won't be in Europe, well, the European Union.
They know how to drive. It's looking at our destination is Brexit. Yeah. Let's get there. You know, Theresa May's been sitting in that driver's seat. I don't even think she warmed up the engine.
And why did you want the UK to leave the EU?
I could go into it for hours, John.
No, give me five reasons. Give me five good reasons. Even to a Sonny Knowles, the late Sonny Knowles, give me three good reasons.
Oh, God bless him, yeah.
Give me three good reasons that you would argue.
I don't believe that's trustworthy. I think we were called into this thing from the beginning. We went into an EEC and ended up in an EU. Now, that's the major factor.
Yeah. So you don't. By the way, you don't think who is trustworthy? All the other states. The other 26, 27, the EU bureaucrats, the EU, who do you mean is not trustworthy?
The whole setup,
okay. Let me bring in Maria Murphy. Maria, John is in Derbyshire. Maria Murphy's in Bristol. Maria, good afternoon. By the way, Joe at RT.ie is probably the best way of contacting us if you are outside the Republic, so to speak, and we can ring you back immediately. Maria Murphy in Bristol. Maria, May to stay or go?
Hi, Joe. Very difficult question, but the thing is, a gentleman said previously, I mean, I've been watching the news all day, I've got a funny feeling that she's not going to lose today, mm-hmm. Because what's happened is that watching them talk in the House of Commons, it's a bit like I never went to public school, but they're there, they haven't really got a clue what it's like living in the real world. But anyway, I think she might get through today. And I think the reason why that's going to happen is because the Tories can't think of anything worse than having Jeremy Corbyn, you know, sort of going through an election or getting into power. That's the worst thing for the Tories. But the thing that's important, Joe, and I phoned up before when the vote took place and the vote was to leave the European Union,
okay,
is that with all the stuff that's happened, yeah, bearing in mind that you've had David Davis, you've had Dominic Raab, and you've had Boris Johnson, who was a foreign secretary, who was a bit of a bumbling idiot because he said certain things in foreign countries. He messed up in Iraq with that journalist. So putting it all to one side, we had the vote. It was a very close vote, OK? We posted our MPs to represent us in the House of Commons. And what's happening now, with all the fighting that goes on, it makes the United Kingdom look stupid. Theresa May gave £1 billion to the DUP to stock up her government because she didn't have enough on her own when she called that general election, which is a bit of a silly thing to do. So it's all getting messed up. But the thing is, Joe, it's so stressful because, obviously, as a person living and working in the UK, I've just come back from Ireland on holiday, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Are we going to have a no Brexit? Are we going to have a second referendum? None of us knows. And then we've got this leadership thing going on today. It's selfish behaviour. And if I hear anybody say Brexit means Brexit, or that Theresa May, you know, she's doing a great job, she's this, she's not doing a great job. She's just holding on to it. She's not doing it at all.
And Maria, would there be great consciousness over there, that the backstop and Ireland now being such a... Ireland basically being the breaking point of this...
The thing that's important, Joe, is, you know, when we had the European Union, mm-hmm. I watched, when we had all the conversations about, you know, the four team and against him, that sort of stuff, they had live TV debates. The thing that's important, OK, we had the bus that Boris Johnson had with all this money going back to the European Union. Yeah. I mean, from the European Union, come back to NHS, I'm sorry, but what's happened to that? He should be put in prison for lying to the British public. Certainly, coming back to the backstop, that was never, ever, ever mentioned in the referendum. I can't remember it being there.
Was the Irish? Was the border in Ireland? Because it's not the Irish border.
Was the border
in Ireland ever mentioned during the
exactly
referendum?
Exactly, but they never discussed it. But do you know what's so horrible? And being, obviously, my parents are from Ireland and obviously living in the UK and growing up here. The thing that's so awful is with about the backstop, all of that blame, all of that border blame, is being put on the Republic of Ireland. And you get the press in this country, and they put it all back on us. That leader of the DUP, or one of the members of the DUP, was saying, you know, it's Ireland, you know, Republic of Ireland, they're politicians, this.
Oh, Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson says it.
Because
Boris
it was
Johnson
never
said
included. One thing, Joe, with the European Union, until they sort out the backstop, or what's going to happen with the border, or whatever they just do, we are going to come back in circles to the same problem again. So John Major in Dublin yesterday, either delay it or don't leave the European Union.
Okay.
And it's not because I'm miserable about the vote and I'm not upset because democracy, blah-de-blah, but thinking of jobs, thinking of people's well-being, people's livelihood, and particularly for people in the Republic of Ireland, obviously I've got family and over and stuff in the Republic of Ireland, but thinking of their welfare and the overall Europe, I think it's just shambolic what the Tory government have done to this country.
John Scanlon, tell me, and I know you will, tell me straight, when you had your table out on your little village in Derbyshire and you were the one campaigning to leave, you say you're the only one, anybody, including yourself, did anyone mention the border in Ireland, what would happen if the UK voted to leave?
There was a mention of it to what'll happen to you? Will you have to go home sort of thing and all this sort of, you know?
No, that's not to do with the border.
But the only thing I know about it from that time in June was the there's this Good Friday Agreement thing that we've been hearing about it forever. But the Protestants and the Catholic thing up there, there's gonna be, we can get rid of this Good Friday Agreement, and then what have you got? The whole island then is in the EU, isn't it?
So you think the chances of a united Ireland have increased dramatically? Is that your take on it? By the way, you're telling me one way or the other, John, that during your Leave campaign back in 2016, when you took to the street, took to probably the only street in that beautiful village you live in, you're saying the border was never mentioned. It was never mentioned. What would happen? Was it? By who?
Well, in debates at the time, it was mentioned. And I mean by neighbours.
Yeah, well, do people say, listen, this is going to cause, if we leave, which you were advocating, John, from the Republic originally, if we leave, which you were advocating, this is going to cause an unholy mess in the island of Ireland, because it'll be the only frontier border between the EU and a non-EU country in that sense.
So it wasn't seen as a serious thing. Back then, when people mentioned
well,
the
it's serious
border,
now. It's serious now.
Yeah, Betty,
Stephen Doherty. Stephen Doherty's in Christchurch in the UK. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Do you want May to stay?
Yes, I can't see any reason for her to go. The gentleman there in Derbyshire seems a little bit confused about the border, whether you know that was spoken about, and a little bit confused about why Theresa May should go as well. I think you know, people are kind of disgruntled and upset because it's not smooth. But that is the nature of the Brexit that we've got. And Mary put it very well. I thought she really took my hat off to her. She really expressed it very well from Bristol. We need to progress in a smooth and a substandard Brexit that is going to be. And that's probably the best, most pragmatic way to go forward.
My kids love the EU. They love the UK.
Yeah.
And we want the best for both sides.
I know you're not doing it to be mean or whatever. That's fine.
I'm trying to do the fair thing here.
The only argument is, John, that people say, well, if you want the best for both sides, why not leave it as it is?
Joe, this is interesting, actually, because...
Maria,
it's Maria again, but the only thing I was going to say is that with the European Union and obviously people wanting to leave and people wanting to stay, they were saying that they were going to produce a list of all the benefits we get from being in the European Union, how much you pay per year, which is not the figure that appears on the back of the bus that Boris Johnson put in the Leave campaign, because which is laughable. So they actually had the deal we've got now and the deal we've got when we leave, if we're going to be worse or better off. But the only thing that's silly, Joe, and you've said it before on your programme, when people said, do you want to stay in the European Union, yes or no, leave or stay, they were the only two questions that were asked. They didn't say, do you want to stay in the single customs union?
Oh, okay.
Exactly. They didn't actually go into it. And you know what's happened? They've just given people the vote, okay? But how much now, the Irish board, I watched the debates on the television, and I don't know the two gentlemen watched it, but I can't remember anything about the Irish backstop being discovered or about the Irish border being discussed at all. So what's happened is they've got this lovely, nice little utopian idea that they can leave the European Union and be this standalone nation. But at the end of the day, they've got this problem with the border. It's not a problem with the border in Ireland, of course it's not. But they have to resolve that. And I don't know how they're going to just do it. Theresa May most probably will win tonight. And the withdrawal... She chickened out putting that withdrawal agreement through because she just knew it was going to fail. So it's just absolute turmoil. It's shambolic. It's laughable. I live in this country. I watch the news every day. And if I did my job like that... I've just lost a piece of work today myself. But if I didn't do my job properly, I'd be sacked.
Oh, hang on a sec, Maria. I mean, why is Theresa May not doing her job properly? I mean, this is completely uncharted territory.
She'll tell you why she's not doing her job properly. And the reason she's not doing it is because she has not stood up to the Brexiteers and her party, OK, and say, listen, you've got your opinion. We had the vote. We're leaving the European Union. It's not that I don't mind leaving the European Union, but the way that the negotiations have been done, it's shambolic. David Davis, Dominic Raab, all these people going to the job, leaving, Boris Johnson, it's just, they're not looking after the people's best interest in this country. They're not looking at it. So Theresa May, she's very cunning, And I'm not going to go about past mistakes she's made in other areas of the government that she's actually looked after, like the Windrush and stuff like that. I'm not going to bother going there. But I don't trust her. I don't trust the Tory party to get us out or to get the best deal for Brexit, even if we do have to go. We need the government now to have three choices. Either we stick with the withdrawal agreement that Theresa May has negotiated, which we're not going to get any changes on.
Mm-hmm.
Option number two is that we don't leave the European Union. Things remain as they are and we stick with what we've got, which would be Brill. Or we have a second referendum, because now people realise the intricacies and the dangers of leaving the European Union with jobs and livelihood and wealth, all those sort of things, and actually thinking, I didn't think it's going to be this easy. I didn't think it was going to be this hard. People now know. People know how hard it is. It's not a walk in the park. We've got the Irish border. That needs to be looked at.
Okay,
It's making people feel very concerned, Joan, very worried.
What's the extent of you and your family and friends?
Right, the thing that's interesting is this. My dad grew up in Clontarf. My mum lived in Bray. There was no work in Ireland in the late 1950s.
Yeah.
My dad left Ireland with my mum. They got married in Bray. They left and came to the UK to find work. And my dad found work. We're his children, okay? We've got brothers and sisters, and we've worked hard, we've found jobs, we've made our way here in England, yeah? We've contributed to the UK economy. Now, my mum, who's now 88, and when we had the vote, I said to mum, what do you want to just do? I said, I'm voting to stay in the European Union, mum, because you and dad came over to England at the time, and you found work here. So why should we deny anybody else in the European Union the opportunity to come to England and find a better life for their families? So my mum, who was 86 at the time, Joe, she said, of course. And she could see a sense, so she ticked the box to stay in the European Union. So when I hear, it's very difficult, but I just, you know, if you've got any Irish connections, I'm just kind of intrigued as to why you would vote to leave the European Union if being in the European Union is benefiting the country that you originally come from.
Well, I asked John for three good reasons, and you're basically around trust. He didn't trust them. He doesn't trust them, and he thinks to work on.
England has been in hibernation since they joined this EU. You just look at everything that's happened over the last 30 or 40 years. It can only get better getting out of this thing. Being in it, we've been asleep.
Has England not got better over the last 30 or 40 years?
No, it hasn't.
Well, standards...
Not anybody around here.
Standards...
I work in the farming areas around here. Well, I'll tell you. They're underneath the farmers up here in the hills in Derbyshire.
Okay, Betty Mitchell
is... What's the reason for them being on the heels? They get funding from the European Union. What's the reason for them not being happy?
The hands are tired. It's like swimming with handcuffs. Every time they try to do something... Listen, you'd want to talk to them. I'm not a farmer. The farmers will let you know.
Because we've got farmers in the West, which is a very big farming community, and they're concerned now with the European, with leaving the European Union, because nothing's been definite, it's been said, and they feel now that they would be better off staying in the European Union.
Okay, Betty Mitchell's in Birmingham. Betty Mitchell, Theresa May to stay or go?
Definitely to stay, Joe.
And what do you think will happen?
My gut feeling again is like the other lady, that yes, she will stay.
Right, yeah.
She has a fight on her hands. But I have to say, from the outset, Joe, we voted to stay. I've been in England now 51 years since I left Dublin in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't unemployed in Dublin. I was working, but I came over to England to live. Now, Joe, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother. All my children are in work, every single one of them. My grandchildren, the grown-ups, they're all in work. All the great-children and great-grandchildren are doing very, very well. Now, as for leaving, we definitely, everybody's talking about the main reasons we left, because the majority of people who didn't really look into it were thinking of, we don't want immigrants. Our hospitals are full of the most beautiful immigrant people from all over the world.
And they saved my life.
Pardon?
I just got to have a bowel cancer, love. They saved my life, these lovely people.
Yes, exactly.
It's not against the people. It's against the poor farms.
Can I have my say, please?
Sorry, yes, I apologise.
The very thing is, we're talking about immigration, the economy. The most important thing, I believe, from the outset on leaving, is the peace we've had in the last 70 years, united as nations.
And
coming together. Now, as for Theresa May, whether you people may like her, people may dislike her, she's a woman with great integrity. She holds her head on her shoulders while everybody else is falling apart. She doesn't get flustered. She doesn't insult people. She works with everybody, whether she likes them or not. She listens to them. She gives them their free say. And then she goes ahead, which most leaders should do if they really believe in their heart of hearts that this is the right decision for the nation. Now, she has Ireland's interest. I, myself and my husband, totally believe she has Ireland's interest as much at heart as she has the UK. If we get rid of her, we certainly wouldn't put that chap, Boris Johnston, in. He's not to be trusted. He's not to be trusted.
Yeah, well, we don't want Corbyn in either.
Well, the fact of the matter is we've got who we've got. We've got a Christian lady who is clear-thinking, doesn't insult anybody. None of us know what the real outcome is going to be until it happens. Secondly, none of us were there when she was around the table with the politicians trying to work out the best deal for us. And
when
she's
she was
done
at the platform outside 10 Downing Street, and she said those three words, everybody is sick of listening to them. Brexit means Brexit.
Yeah, Hold on a minute.
Simon Courtney and Leo Varadkar and the EU, they've got the greatest respect for her. She does listen. She is a thinking woman. And she's the best Prime Minister we have had, I think.
When Theresa May had that general election, which was a bit of a silly thing to do because she didn't get the majority in the House, and she had to give the DUP £1 billion to keep them on her side, OK? £1 billion of taxpayers' money to the DUP, yeah, to get her on their side. And now when we come to the border situation, they're mostly not going to get the backing of it all. But the thing that's so stupid...
And I wonder why
didn't she think about that, Joe, before she did it? Because further down the line, did she think... Now, hang on for a minute. If we leave the European Union and we've got the Irish... Now, what's going to happen with the DUP? And then she's actually said to Ireland... Well, she's actually said, well, actually, hang on for a minute. Maybe we'll look at United Ireland, and that way, the UK leaves Brexit. Ireland's one big country. What's the problem with that? The DUP don't like it. So she's just putting anything out there just to get her deal through. She just postponed the meeting to go back and renegotiate. And Europe is saying, hang on for a minute... What you've got is what you've got.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
The thing is, you can't change anything. Changing the Tory leader is not going to make Brexit. All that's going to happen when Theresa May, which I don't think she will get voted out, but if she does do, and you get Boris Johnson or Jacob Rees-Moss, whoever's in there, what will happen is you're going to get a no-deal Brexit because that's what they really want.
We know we've got all that, but in the end, who would you put in her place?
I think she will win the vote of confidence tonight. Thinking we don't want Jeremy Corbyn, so we'd rather have Theresa May bumbling along, because any other numpty that will come in there and just do whatever.
Well, Marie, would you like someone else in the Labour Party, the British Labour Party?
No, the thing is, Joe, obviously you can gather that anything that can help people that aren't so fortunate to have a good education, that supports people that are having to go to state schools and use the NHS that can't afford provide medical private health care, I'm in for that, because if you've got wealthy people, let's tax them a bit more so they can give the poorer people a better chance of having a better life. So that's where my political leanings lie. Getting back to Jeremy Corbyn, what I like about him is that he's not... having said, he doesn't, wear flashy suits. He is what he is, and he's never changed in his thoughts or whatever. So I think that all MPs, with the TDs and you've got to say, do you trust them? Of course you do. But obviously, Jeremy Corbyn, I think, is a good leader for the Labour Party. He's got a lot of support. But just coming back to the Brexit thing,
okay.
Labour made a cock up. Made a mess up, really, Joe, because when the referendum happened, there was nobody really within the Labour Party that kind of said, we are the party for remaining in the European Union. So all that would happen is, if this no vote of confidence comes up and Theresa May gets in, let her put a withdrawal agreement through to the House of Commons, and let on that ballot paper be, stick with the withdrawal agreement, or let's not let's delay it, or stay in the European Union, or have another people's referendum. Because I think now that people know how difficult it is to leave the European Union and how worse off it will be, I think that's going to give people a bit of a clearer picture.
Stay there for a second, Maria. 51551 joe@rt.ie. Sue McMillan's in Roscommon. Sue, do you think May will stay or go this evening? Theresa May.
She'll stay. There won't be enough against her.
Okay, so what do you think of the whole situation? Are you from the UK?
I was born in the UK, moved to Ireland 15 years ago.
Well, stand there on the chair and look across the Irish Sea. What do you think of what's happening?
I truly believe when the people voted, they had no idea of the consequences of what they were voting for.
Hear, hear.
Well said.
Very simple. I have a UK passport. Mm-hmm. My husband has an Irish passport. What do we do? Do I go and get a visa to go to Spain and he can go through? Just a very simple situation.
By the way, you say you're self-employed. Will Brexit have an implication on your business?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I have clients in Ireland. I have clients in the UK. First implication will be VAT. I am a service provider. So, therefore, between Europe and Ireland, I don't charge VAT. Mm-hmm. So, my fees in March will go up 23%.
And what business are you in, Sue?
I provide a virtual secretarial service, legal secretarial service. So, my company is virtualpa.ie.
Oh, secretarial, so legal secretarial. Okay, that's pretty specialised. And by the way, in your family in the UK, what way did they vote?
The younger ones voted to get out. The middle people, I'm saying 40 to 55, stay.
Yeah.
And the older people said get out.
Have any of them changed their mind?
Yes.
In what way? What direction?
To stay.
Stay. Okay, Stephen Doherty. Back to Stephen Doherty in Christchurch. Stephen, good afternoon again. Stephen.
Good afternoon, Joe.
The first time I ever heard you, if it's the same Stephen, the first time I ever heard you was on BBC about 2 years ago. You were on, you phoned in Annie Answers, their programme on a Saturday afternoon. You spoke about your family being completely split over Brexit. Is this the same Stephen?
Yeah, I would say it's not the same Stephen. I mean, we were terribly riven at the time.
Oh, it's the same person, but you've changed. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, sorry. It's the same person, but my feelings about it are different. I'm just very pragmatically just hoping we can move forward, notwithstanding the conundrum of the Irish border, as quickly as possible, so that we can, you know, move forward with our greater goals. Because all of these distractions about the leadership and about a second referendum, which is crazy talk, I'm afraid, as much as, I think Mary's heart's in the right place. She sounds like a very interesting woman. I just think that's crazy talk to try and keep going over the same question. We need to pragmatically move forward. And maybe the answer to the border will be, a hard control border. And, there are worse things that could happen. I think that's a possibility.
Okay.
It's something we could do with technology as well.
And Stephen, would many families in the UK be very divided over their Christmas dinner table?
I would say most people now have moved on, because obviously, that's an unhappy situation to be in. So certainly in my family, we kind of both softened a little bit.
Because your parents voted to leave.
You voted to stay,
and you were deeply upset. You had I won't call it a confrontation, but you had a disagreement with your mother when you discovered what way they voted.
And I was really upset about it.
I know it wasn't just them,
it was other members of my family and also all of the community here that I'm surrounded by. So I was pretty, upset with everybody. And I just accepted that... for me to be happy and for me to have good relationships with them,
but
it's not sensible to keep on erasing them.
But you think it's an inevitability now, don't you, Brexit?
Oh, absolutely,
Even though you voted to remain. Okay, well, judging by the caller so far, with the exception of Sue, but Sue having her strong UK connections, it's 5-1 think that May will stay. Which is interesting. Okay, thanks indeed. 51551 joe@rt.ie and 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liam Davis in County Wicklow, you're in the freight forwarding business. My God, you're going through a chilling time at the moment. You must be with the prospect.
Yeah, well, the prospects for the last, well, not just for me, but from, I'm a freight forwarder, so I'm 48 years in the business. So we went through this before when there was a time when there was tariffs on goods coming from, you know, the EU and the UK and that. But it's sad for a lot of companies and SMEs. You know, for the last week or so, I've been attending seminars run by Custom by Revenue, and I was at a seminar that I was on the panel of about the LGMA, you know, talking to Leo offices and government offices who are trying to help, you know, small industries and large industries to try and resolve how they're going to handle, you know, whatever happens in Brexit, you know.
And so you hope Theresa May, even though she's arguing for Brexit, but you hope she stays.
Well, look, whatever the solution, it's sad, Joe. I mean, to be honest with you, I've got a lot of admiration for her for over the last couple of weeks, particularly for the situation. Never seen any political party that wants to commit political suicide. But I think today, I think the vote, if she's going to go with that vote, I believe it's a vote of, it's going to be a vote of confidence in Theresa May. Because if it is, it'll allow her then proceed as a party and with the support of her party to make a decision and put it to the government. If she doesn't win on this, what are the options? Nobody's come up with an actual solution of any shape or form that is akin to what's being offered at the moment. I can't understand. They're talking about Brexit and they're talking about, you know, going outside of the EU and doing negotiations with the likes of America and Canada and whatever, you know. You know, why would you leave or go and try to negotiate something that you already have with 27 countries? You know, the solution is there. You're going to be negotiating separate deals, hoping that these countries like America, Canada, whatever, are going to agree with it. That they're not going to put restrictions like they did on China with that organization, Huawei or something they call it, the company, that they can't deal with Iran. You know. It's going to take the average, and I think I said this to you before, the average transit time between here and the UK is about 24 to 48 hours. Northern Ireland, one guy pointed at me the other day, 10 minutes off the road and he's with his customers. If you bring something from China, it's going to take 37 maybe to 40 days to get here. America, 21 to 24 days. You know, it's the same, and you've got 24 hours and you've got a supply. And all because... what's going to happen? They're going to leave the EU because they don't want to support an EU and they want to be independent. But they're going to have to pay duties and taxes on goods coming in from America, Canada, China. Do you know why would you do that?
Well, and more. When they want to export to different countries, they'd be paying heavy tariffs as well. Let me bring in John Collins. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Brexit.
My point is, John Scanlon mentioned that earlier, that, you know, they didn't accept our vote. When our referendum took place, they didn't accept the results. Well, actually, the British people never got a chance to have a referendum on any of those issues. Their government just voted through. They didn't give the people their say, number one. And number two, each time we were asked to vote, there was an amendment made to the relevant European documents to our advantage. And we actually gained a particular sum of structural funds from at least one of them. I remember Albert Rinner's returning after one of
Edinburgh, Scotland, and that's often forgotten.
And I think something else too is forgotten. Well, this is a major problem for East European countries. When we joined the EU, the structural funds and the transfer of funds from us to Europe has led to us becoming quite a prosperous country. This was set in train by George Marshall after the Second World War, when the huge funds went into France, from America to France, to England, to Germany, even to Germany, and that were the protagonists of all the trouble at the time, and some to this country. And that helped build up the economy of Western Europe. It was to the benefit of the Americans. They didn't give this money just because they loved the people or anything. In the same way, if this money that America would be transferred into the EU from Britain. A lot of that was being transferred into the very poor East European countries, and it was a great way to counteract the likes of Putin and so on, who was a more dangerous individual. And if that's going to happen, we're going to, you know, it's one of the great setbacks of it, you know. But I'd like especially to challenge the Farage, who's been allowed to get away far too often with the expression, all the Irish were made vote again. They were, but they voted in something else.
Okay, and the argument would be that I heard it yesterday again, but the argument would be that people weren't brainwashed into voting differently the second time or the third time.
Well, no, most certainly were not. There was a reason that.
We also voted twice on, I think, three times on abortion. Twice on divorce, and people change their minds. Let me bring Anne Cavan in. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You see a deeper malaise emerging in this debate, and it's the attitude to Ireland.
Absolutely, absolutely. The attitude of the Tories in Britain telling us that we should know our place, that they simply cannot stand. They can't allow the Irish to treat them the way we're treating them. Mm-hmm. They just don't realise it's not the Irish that's treating the way. It's their choice to leave the EU. We have nothing to do with them leaving the EU. The border is a British border with the EU.
Yeah. And what is it that the Tories have been saying? What were you saying, Nicole, that the Irish should know their place? That was a Tory,
yes,
yeah.
What they're saying, senior Tory MPs.
But didn't Boris Johnson say a few months ago the backstop is rubbish, isn't worth the paper it was written on? But it's coming up now to bite them all.
Exactly. And only last week he was cozying up to the DUP. We can junk the Irish.
Well, he's coming to Dublin in a few weeks. So let's see what reception.
Yeah,
What reception he gets in Ireland.
Arrogance of them, Joe, is absolutely unbelievable, and they don't even know what they're talking about.
And who was a Priti Patel, the former development minister?
Manipulate the Irish, tell them we'll starve them.
A most egregious statement from a former cabinet minister. Now she was caught out having meetings that she shouldn't have been having with Israeli government Theresa May promptly sacked her. But hang on, Theresa May in the last few minutes was asked about this in the House of Commons, about these Priti Patel, starve the Irish. Mother
that.
God, 60, 70 years after the famine for some looper in the UK.
To
come out with this nonsense. But this is Theresa May.
In 1997, the British Prime Minister issued an apology to the people of Ireland for the historic role in the Great Famine. That sent out a powerful and an important message. Will the Prime Minister condemn any notion, any suggestion that food shortages in Ireland will be used to strengthen Britain's negotiating hand during the Brexit negotiations?
Yes, can I say to the Honourable Gentleman, I am happy to absolutely give that assurance. We would not use that issue in any sense in the negotiating strategy.
And neither would we. You can have as much cheddar cheese as you want. You can have much Goodfellas pizzas as you want. You can have Silver Hill duckling as you want. You can have as much Avonmore milk as you want. You can have much mozzarella cheese as you want. You can have as much Dawn Farm meats as you want. Take them all. We'll keep filling McDonald's for you. And what will we not get from you? Okay, starve us of your bottled mineral water and starve us of your potatoes. Shall we start growing them ourselves?
You
need us. I'm getting all jingoistic now when I think back. Priti Patel. Priti Patel, you need us more than we need you. And to start talking in those jingoistic terms at this in the year 2018 as we merge into 2019 with the world in turmoil between Syria and Yemen and people being starved deliberately, not by a famine, not by climate change, people in Yemen being deliberately starved by man-made actions, for someone in the a former member of the British government to start saying that we'll starve the Irish if they don't stop being uppity about the backstop and stop invoking all their mates in the EU.
Manipulate them into
just shows the level of debate.
They're not negotiating with us. Okay. They're negotiating with the EU.
Let me bring Ron Mackey in. Ron is an Antrim. Ron, good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Joe.
What do you think, Ron? May to stay or go?
I think she will probably stay. I don't think she deserves to stay, probably given the job that she has done, but I think she will, and maybe at this late stage it's just as well. I don't know anymore. I think a lot of people are beginning to get extremely weary of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Some of the comments just recently there have sort of emphasized the way that I feel. I mean, I feel disappointed. I feel very sad that not just recently, but over the last few months, the whole Brexit issue, the backstop issue, is soaring relationships between UK and Ireland.
I find that particularly
sad as someone who is in favour of Brexit, but who has regularly, over this past 50 years since honeymooning in Ireland, visits there regularly, very, very regularly.
But you're in Antrim. You are in Ireland, Ron. But what you mean is the Republic of Ireland, is it?
The Republic of Ireland. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh yes.
Now we're all in Ireland.
I would be saying Northern Ireland if I was trying to differentiate.
Okay, I know what you mean. Sorry. Ron, have you given the divisiveness and the level of discourse that's now emerging? I was listening to the BBC World Service last week. They had a debate in a small English town. It was shocking. The level of ignorance that was there about Brexit and immigration. Absolutely shocking. But Ron, have you changed your mind on Brexit?
No, I haven't, Joe. Okay. And to be honest, I've got quite angry listening to your programme, as I tend to do from time to time. I am honestly tired being told that people who voted for Brexit didn't realise what they were voting for, and they only voted Brexit because they're either A, racist, or B, stupid.
And why did you vote Brexit?
I had four reasons. By the way, Joe, I didn't get round to voting because the day before the vote, my wife was in Drogheda on a shopping visit, fell and broke her shoulder. I had to go down and spend the night in Drogheda and didn't get voting at all. So there we are. But the reasons that I would have voted Brexit are, number one, UK joined a common market which rapidly developed into a European Union, and it's my firm belief that a lot of the European leaders and the European Union themselves are aiming towards further and further integration. You only have to listen to the comments that are made to see what a lot of the leaders want. Probably not the peoples in those countries, but certainly the leaders. Number two, I don't think that the UK reaped financial benefits according to the amount of money that they're paying the EU. Number three, I did feel they show themselves to be, over the years, quite undemocratic, unwilling to accept referendum results that do not go the way that they want to. And I know this was talked about 10 minutes ago, but I'm sorry, I think that there was a lot of pressure put on the Irish population to change their mind. A lot of money spent. The organisations, you know, the media and that, fully behind a yes vote. And the very last one, over the last 30 years or so, the gravy train that is Europe would make the expensive scandal in the UK seem like child's play. Those were my four reasons. Immigration would come a poor fifth after that.
But the fact that the politics has been sundered so badly, the political landscape has been sundered. For example, in the last few minutes down in the Republic, as we call it, Micheál Martin has confirmed that they've extended their confidence and supply deal with Fine Gael for another year in the national interest. And he says that an election right now would be would not be the right thing. Brexit is not just a threat of a short-term nature, and these are not normal times. So he says that it shouldn't be. So you have that level in the Republic of, and from Micheál Martin's point of view, it's a lot of people would say it's an incredible gesture to say that we will guarantee there won't be an election. He's effectively saying there won't be an election. He's saying one for at least a year, but effectively, if you read into it, he's saying for another 2 years. He just said that in the last few minutes. Now, for an opposition party to say that, we're all Jeremy Corbyn Corbyn seems to say and shout at Theresa May is get lost, you're a disgrace, but there doesn't seem to be an alternative offered. But the fact that your politics, and even in Northern Ireland, is so sundered that you can't agree on bus lanes at this stage and who should go into them, surely that's demoralising, Ron, to say the least.
Joe, the whole thing has been rather demoralising, but I think to me that is a reflection of how clever, how capable the European Union negotiators have been, as opposed to the UK negotiators, who were largely, by the way, Remain supporters, including Mrs May. They allowed themselves to be boxed into a very difficult situation back in January with a backstop. Now, look, I don't underplay the border issue, but in this day and age, I firmly believe that there are ways in that the hard border, which people exaggerate the effects of a hard border, I do believe. I think it has been used as a scare story. I'm not saying that there aren't... I don't want a hard border. Nobody seems to. But the strange thing is that everybody said they didn't want a hard border, and yet UK still allowed themselves to be boxed in the position of a backstop. And I mean, you've seen what has happened since that. It has inevitably led to tensions between UK and Ireland. And that's a terribly sad thing.
Well, the only people that would love a hard border are the smugglers, Ron. They would really love it. They would really... It's bonanza
yeah,
time.
Stay
with us.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
By the way, Helena Horton, a very respected journalist in the London or the Daily Telegraph, she's computed that given what MPs have publicly said, Theresa May has enough votes to win tonight, to beat the no-confidence vote, so to speak. So she says over 158 MPs have written of their support for her on Facebook, Twitter, and only 28. They're very vocal, but 28 have declared that they are against the Prime Minister, 48 and wrote letters. So, but anyway, she said if they all stick to what they've said publicly, Philip will be giving her a little glass of scotch tonight before she settles in, because she is on Duracell batteries at this stage. Paul Kent, do you think May will stay or go?
It looks like she'll stay, but she needs just 50% of the vote.
Yes.
Under the old system, people have forgotten that Margaret Thatcher lost. She needed 55%.
Oh, well done,
well
spotted.
To stay.
Yeah,
and Margaret Thatcher actually won that first election, and she was going to have to go for a second election a week later, and her support started crumbling. You can see her.
So will Brexit mean Brexit?
My text that I sent into you is what I've been saying for the last 2 years. It'll never happen. It'll never happen in its full capacity anyway, because the captains of industry and the mandarins of the City of London will not stand for it. And I'd imagine they've given their orders to the government to make sure it doesn't happen. And at the end of the day, yeah. Joe, it's the House of Commons that reigns supreme. Like the House of Commons could go in for a total free vote.
I know the House of Commons reigns supreme, but it's also raining cats and dogs in the House, and clowns in the House of Commons at the minute. They're all over the place. Nobody knows what will they agree on, but we will know more by this time tomorrow. You'll know more within 8 or 9 hours. Riveting British politics, because it affects us so much and will affect us so much. OK, back tomorrow at 1:45. Laura Lee Davis at BCO, Mark McGrath sound, Angus McInally produced, and Ray Darcy is next.